Good morning to each one of you. Greet you in Jesus' precious name. Welcome to the visitors that come to worship with us this morning. Well, children, you probably know by now that I like when you get involved in the service. So I would like all the children from the ages 12 on down to stand up. That's quite a crowd. That's wonderful. Why do you think it's important that you children are involved in our service? Who can tell me? Anybody have any thoughts? Well, you know what? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you. Because 30 years from now, you'll be up here preaching, and you'll be up here teaching Sunday school. And if I'm still living, I'll be sitting back there in that chair where Abner used to sit with dim eyes, can't read his Bible no more, his hearing was bad. That's why it's important for you today that you listen, that you pay attention, because sometime you're going to be up here and I'm going to be sitting back there old and feeble. So before you sit down, I'm going to read a couple verses, and so we'll see how alert you are this morning, because I have a total of 8 verses that I'm going to read that all have the same thought. I'm going to read a few of these, and after I read each verse, I'm going to look up, and as soon as you think you know what I'm going to speak about today, I want you to raise your hand, because I want to see if you can pick up on that. So, like I said, I have 8 verses, and if I need to read all 8 verses until you get the hint, I'll read 8 verses. So you listen carefully. And they're all through the New Testament, so it's not in one chapter. The first one is Matthew 9, verse 2, says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Anybody have any idea? That's not fair, just one verse. I'll read another one. But straightway Jesus, this is Matthew 14, verse 27. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Any hints? Okay, I'll keep reading. There's another one in Mark 6, verse 50. "For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked to them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Well, no, not quite. Anybody else?
Like faith?
Like faith? No, there's a particular phrase. I'll read another one. In John 16, verse 33, says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Nope. Believing on Jesus? Well, that's all part of it, but there's a certain phrase that to me that just jumped right out. Right here? Be of good cheer. Okay. So all of those verses that I read, in that verse said, be of good cheer. So, okay, children, thank you. You may sit down. That is what we want to talk about today, is be of good cheer. But before we go any further, let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have created, that you have allowed us to live. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that died that we might live eternally. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings to us this day, this new year. Thank you, O God, that you give us instruction in your word how to live. Lord, forgive me where I have failed in the past. Lord, continue to speak to my heart today as I share these words that you have laid on my heart. Guide us today, and may you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was not thinking about this as being the first Sunday of a brand new year, but we do have a brand new day, a brand new year, 2021. Who would have ever imagined? When I was growing up in back in the 70s, the predictions were that by 1974, the Russians are going to come in and take over the world. And as a young person, you know, I did not look forward to 1974. Well, that's been many years ago. And here we are in 2021. The mercy of the Lord is new every day. And if you are a child of God, you are forgiven. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You can walk with Him in victory every day. What reason do we have to not be of good cheer? So when you think of good cheer, what do you think of? Webster says cheer is a state of gladness or joy, a state of animation above gloom and depression of spirits. There's a lot of people today that have no cheer in their life because they're reading the news, they're on Facebook seeing what everybody else is saying, and then they get unfriended and whatever else they do on there. I don't know. I don't waste my time on there. But they just don't have any cheer. And they're walking around in a state of gloom. And then they look at the government and they see all the cheating and the lying. And then they look at the virus and they think they're going to die tomorrow, maybe today yet. And I mean, they're just very, very gloomy. But if we have our sins forgiven, we are encouraged to be of good cheer. So it really doesn't matter if we live today, if we die tomorrow. If we're in the Lord, why, we're in His hands. Had to think of, as a child, have you ever seen a child being depressed or walking around gloomy? Maybe sometimes they need an attitude adjustment, but typically a child is happy and cheerful, you know, and they're not discouraged. They're full of faith. I mean, to think of the trust that they have in you as a parent, in God. I mean, the simple faith of a child. They're just full of cheer. Last week, we were together at a cabin for 4 days over Christmas with our children, our grandchildren, had a great time. A couple days before, one of the little granddaughters said to my grandma, you ought to come to our house and see our cabin closet. She was just joyful about their cabin closet because as they were preparing to go to the cabin, they were putting stuff away in this closet that they were going to take to the cabin. They were just cheerful and joyful that we're going to a cabin. But you know what? We have something a whole lot more exciting about than going to a cabin. We have Jesus to walk with. We have Jesus that makes it possible that we can live in victory and that we can walk with Him every day. So now I want to look at a few of these verses just briefly. Some of these are already read, and I'll read it again, Matthew 9, verse 2. Now listen, children, because I'm going to read some of these same verses again, and so you listen and pick up that phrase. Thank you, Titus. Matthew 9, verse 2, and behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now just picture yourself as this man. He's lying on a bed. Palsy means he's paralyzed. So he's been lying on this bed probably for many, many years. Just lays there. He's helpless. And he hears about a man called Jesus that is going around healing people. Wouldn't faith rise up in your heart as you hear of a man, Jesus? You think, maybe me, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe I can get off of this bed. And then he comes along. Jesus comes along and sees him. And he says, Son, be of good cheer. I just can't fathom how your heart would rise up to have someone call me son. be of good cheer. But you know what? We can be of good cheer this morning as sons and daughters, because it is through faith in Jesus that we can be sons and daughters of His. And He would tell us the same today. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And then John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this morning, if you are born of God, you have all the power at your fingertips to live in victory, to overcome the world. And Jesus would say to us, be of good cheer. It's through Christ's death on the cross that He overcame the prince of this world, the prince of this earth, Satan. And we triumph today because of His victory. Even though we have tribulation in this life, even though we have dishonest government, we have viruses going around and friends are dying and, you know, people are living in fear all across this land. And I think that is what Satan wants. He wants us to live in fear. But this morning, I think God wants us to be of good cheer, because He said we will have tribulation in this life. But be of good cheer. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 23. And there's another verse here in verse 11. But I want to read, I'm going to start reading at chapter 1 so you, or I mean at verse 1, so that you get the whole gist of the story here. So Acts 23, verse 1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called into question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisee part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. So you see here, this is the situation that Paul finds himself in. He's in this council. They're trying to condemn him. I mean, the two sides are fighting, and the boss is afraid Paul's going to get torn apart, and so he quick rescues him and locks him up so that they can't do that. But then that's the background of that story. Well, then it's that night in verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him, Paul, and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Israel, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Can you imagine how Paul would have felt? I mean, he's here, you know, they're arguing over him. But imagine how he felt that night as the angel come and stood by him and said, be of good cheer. You know, he's probably fearing for his life, but here he is. He has every reason to be good, discouraged. And then farther on, he's being tested. And then they get word that there's 40 Jews, more than 40 Jews, have taken an oath that they will not eat or drink until he's killed. And he's right in the midst of this. And it's as they take this oath, I think it would cause me to tremble if I knew that more than 40 people have taken an oath that they're not going to eat or drink until I'm dead. I mean, that would cause our flesh to just shrivel up and want to hide. But it's Paul's in that situation. An angel comes and says, be of good cheer, Paul. I'm not done with you. I still have work for you. I still want you to testify for me in Jerusalem. Now turn with me to Acts 27. We have another account here that to me is very exciting. Acts 27, and I'm going to start reading in verse 13 to verse 38. And here we have Paul, you know, on the ship. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, here we have Paul on his voyage, and they're heading out. There's some discussion, should they go, should they not go, and they wanted to hang out for the winter there because of the weather, but somebody overruled, and so, okay, now they're on the way, and so now they run into this, and that's where we're at in verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they thought the weather was in their favor and they're good to go. And loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Eurysidlon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand. Lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they were would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 276 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And then if you skip down to verse 44, you know, after the ship had all broken apart, verse 44 says, "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all to safe land." You know, to me, that's just an amazing story of how God's protection was over them. I mean, here you have these sailors hauling all these prisoners, and they were so frightened beside themselves, they didn't eat or probably drink the way it would appear for 14 days. But then you have the angel coming to Paul and says, "Paul, be of good cheer, because you listen to me, all your lives are going to be saved." And then they're in verse 22, he says, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life." And so Paul is telling them, what's going to happen? We're going to lose the ship, but God's going to save us, so be of good cheer. And also, the thing that stuck out to me is how that Paul lost my train of thought now. Hate when that happens. Of everything I lost, I miss my mind the most sometimes. Oh, I think what it was is that Paul took courage because the angel come and said, "Be of good cheer." And by him being cheerful, it affected those around him. All those in the ship with him. You know, they also, at his admonishment, took food. And it says they were all of good cheer. And then you see there in verse 44 how they all were spared their lives. And you see God's hand upon them, because Paul was there to tell them what was happening because of the angel speaking to them and telling them to be of good cheer. So now turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 14. In verse 22, we have earlier in the chapter from verse 13 to 21, we have Jesus and the disciples. He's there, and they just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So now we're going to break in here in verse 22, and we're going to read 22 to 33. And it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You know, such an amazing story here. You know, in verse 22, it says, Jesus constrained them. I mean, this is just like a little side note. But Jesus constrained them. And when you look at the definition of constrained, it means he urged them irresistibly or powerfully. He compelled or he forced the disciples to leave. So why do you think Jesus forced the disciples to leave? They had just got done feeding the 5,000. You know, I'm sure everybody was excited. In fact, a little side note here, why Jesus constrained them was found in John 6 in verse 15. It says, "When Jesus therefore perceived," he's back at the same situation, "when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone." So that's why he forced the disciples into a ship and said, "Go to the other side. We got to get out of here. We got to break up this party because they're going to take me by force and make me king." And that was not what God had planned. And so it was interesting to me that that's why Jesus constrained the disciples to go to the other side. And then in verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone." So, I mean, this is probably sometime in the afternoon. We don't know, maybe lunchtime. He just got done feeding them lunch. He gave them the bread and the fish. "And when evening was come, he was there alone." So Jesus spent quite a bit of time up there praying. Verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea." You know, just let your mind run a little bit. So Jesus forces the disciples to leave at, just say, lunchtime. He goes up to the mountain to pray. He prays till evening. So after the disciples leave, they get in the ship and they start heading across. And so this was no little river. This wasn't the Schuylkill. This wasn't the Delaware. This wasn't the Susquehanna. I would like to know how big that sea was, but we don't really know. But I would imagine it was pretty big, because if they left at lunchtime, and it says then in verse 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night," that's 3 o'clock in the morning, "Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." So imagine, it says they're in the midst of the sea. I'm simple enough to think that they were in the middle. If it says the midst, I think that's the middle. So it could mean that they're just somewhere between A and B too. But if they were in the middle, that means that either the winds were very, very strong and boisterous, that's all the further they made, or it was a very big sea, and that's all the further they got. So whatever the case, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And verse 26 says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear." Now, if you remember, just a few hours before this, they were with Jesus. They witnessed one of the greatest miracles he had ever performed. He fed the 5,000, and they were with him, and everybody's joyful, and they're just rejoicing in his presence. And now, so quickly, a few hours later, their hearts are filled with fear. Why do you think that was? is because they're no longer in his presence. You know, these are tough, strong sailors. I mean, sailors are a rough gang. And they lived on the sea. And to think of a sailor being fearful, I mean, it must have been a pretty vicious storm. But the thought that I would like to bring out here is just a few hours before they were with Jesus and everything was okay. Now they're not with Jesus. They're not in his presence. And now their hearts are filled with fear. The lesson for you and I today, stay in the presence of Jesus. You know, a personal relationship with Jesus, that's the only way that we can be of good cheer. When our hearts are filled with faith and we're in his presence. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Do you sense and feel God's presence beside you? John, Art, Cleon, Daryl, Luke. Be not afraid, it is I. Be of good cheer. And these disciples were right where Jesus wanted them. He told them, he commanded, he constrained, he forced them to leave, and they obeyed. God wants us to obey too. If he tells you to go, you better go. Because if you don't, you will become fearful because you're not obedient. So he constrained them, and they obeyed. So they were in the center of his will. He wanted them to learn another lesson on trust, on faith, on being in his presence. Then we have in verse 28, when they realized, or they're thinking, hey, is this Jesus? Verse 28, Peter said, answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And Peter, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I've never walked on water, but I'm not sure that I would have the faith to ever try it. But Jesus said, come. Peter was full of faith because Jesus said, it is I, be of good cheer. And Peter was full of faith. And so he jumps right out of the boat and walked across the water. How amazing. And verse 30, here was his downfall. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. He did the same thing that you and I are tempted to do today. He took his eyes off of Jesus. When he kept his eyes on Jesus, that was his focus. He didn't see the waves. He didn't see the water about him. I mean, here he was a tough old sailor. He was used to waves. He was used to rough water. But he didn't even see that. Because he had his eyes on Jesus. Jesus said, his eye, be not afraid. And he was not afraid. But the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. The effect of this fear, he began to sink. While faith kept up, he kept up above the water. But when his faith staggered, he began to sink. It's the same for us today. The sinking of our spirits owes to a weakness of our faith. If my spirits sink, if I am not of good cheer, if I am not full of faith, it's because my faith is weak. It's the same for us today as it was for Peter. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, our hearts are full of faith and we are of good cheer. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Their hearts were filled with wonder and the awe, and they worshipped him. Today, that's what God wants for you and I. He wants us to keep our eyes on Him. He wants us to be full of faith. It doesn't matter what trials and what tribulations come to us this year, in 2021, 2022, in the future. It really doesn't matter. If we are living in obedience to God's word, if we are in a personal relationship with Jesus, if our hearts are full of faith, we're going to be of good cheer. It really doesn't matter. There's a verse in Psalms or Proverbs, I'm not sure. It says, whether I live or whether I die, we are the Lord's. That's the important part. So in closing, God has not changed. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else about us is changing. It changes from a year ago. It changes from a month ago, from last week. It changes from yesterday. Everything is full of change. And you can't trust anything except Jesus. But we have one thing that is solid, that is secure, that never changes. And that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying to each of us today, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, this also know, that in the last days perilous times will come. So we don't know what lies ahead, but the message is still the same. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Thank you for your attention.